we concluded with we began the Kosher Shiva Maskel She'im, and we introduced the topic of a stake, of a double doubt. And the question becomes, what exactly is the explanation in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah presented that Absula gets married on Wednesday. In the event that there is a problem and the husband claims that she lived with another man between the Erusin and the Nisuin, then he will be able to take her to Beis Din and complain, and therefore will not be able to remain living with her, because if she lived with another man willingly, he would have to divorce her and she would lose her ksuba. So Rashi said that the Takana Mishnah is that the husband should come and cause an uproar, and therefore there will be a rumor, and therefore if the event is true, Edim will come. And let's keep in mind that Rashi says the following. Rashi says that maybe the woman lived with another man, and she would become usher to him, like we learn from the Pasuk V'nisra V'hi Nitma. That's what Rashi says. That if a woman lives with another man, then the husband has to divorce her and she loses the ksuba. So, the way Tosfos quoted Rashi, when we saw the beginning of the Tosfos, the way Tosfos quotes Rashi, and if we take a look at it, Rashi said, if you take a look at the beginning of the Tosfos, Dibur Maskel She'im, six lines in, Tosfos says, Ubekuntris perish shemitoch kach yisparar adover v'yavo edim shezinsa beratzom. Tosfos quotes Rashi a little bit differently than the way we have Rashi. Tosfos says that the Edim will come and say that she committed adultery willingly. And therefore, if she committed adultery willingly, she will become usher to her husband, he will have to divorce and she will lose the ksuba. What did Rashi say himself in the Mishnah? That the husband will come and cause an uproar, and the Edim will come and claim she lived with another man. But he doesn't add the word derutzon. Seems from Rashi that as long as the Edim come and say that she lived with another man, based on the Pasuk V'nistara, she will become prohibited. So the question is twofold, 2 points. Number one is, Tosfos quotes Rashi, as we learned on Daf Tesem and Aleph, what's the classic Sveik-Sveika, double doubt. Number one is, when did the woman live with another man? Was it after Erusin? Or was it before Erusin? If it was before Erusin, she's still permissible to her husband. If it was after Erusin, she will be prohibited to her husband. And even if she lived with another man after Erusin, maybe, God forbid, she was raped. And therefore, she would still remain permissible to her husband. That was the classic Sveik-Sveika that we learned on Daf Tes. So, it's very important and interesting to note that when Tosfos quotes Rashi, he quotes Rashi, that Rashi's saying that the Edim will come and will tell us that she was mezana with another man willingly. Rashi himself just says that the Edim will come and tell us that she was mezana in general. That's number one point that we have to understand. Why does Rashi only say the concept that Edim will come and say mezana? And number two, why does Rashi quote the pasuk v'nistara? V'nistara, and not quote the law? There's an Isser essay of v'nistara, that a woman is not allowed to stay with her husband, she lived with another man. There's also an Isser Lav of a lo yuchal baal lekachacha. A husband cannot remain with his wife if she lived with another man. So why does Rashi choose to only mention the Isser essay and not the Lav? So there are 2 points that we have to try to understand in this Rashi. Okay. Now, what emerges here is the following. And that is that maybe we can explain the dispute between Rashi and Tosfos in the Mishnah in the following vein. Last week, we concluded with Tosfos' understanding of the Mishnah. Tosfos understood the Mishnah to say that the takana of Absula getting married on Wednesday applies to all women that have never been married before. But Tosfos says that the husband, if he claims in Beis Din that she lived with another man, is not believed because it's a snake. So the Gemara in Daf Tes said in two cases he's believed. By the wife of a Kohen, because in the event, God forbid, that a Kohen's wife is raped, he's not able to stay with her. Or the other case was the father had married off his daughter, who was less than 3 years in one day. He had married her off Erusin. Then, many, many years later, they have Nisuin, and the Hussan that marries the daughter claims that she was with another man, and he claims that she was with another man, so the question becomes, is he believed? And the Gemara says, yes, he's believed, because there's only one doubt. What's the one doubt? The Gemara tells us, the one doubt is that when, what was the actual relationship that the woman lived with the man? Was it Ba'onis or was it Baratzim? But we know for sure when she lived with the man. It had to be after Erusin. Because Rashi quotes the Gemara Nida that if she lived with the man under the age of 3 years and one day, she matures again, her Basulim grow back, and therefore, the halacha is that we only have one doubt. And one doubt, Safik D'Oraisa L'Chumra. In the case of Safik D'Oraisa L'Chumra, the husband is believed. So there are two cases alone, that is it, that the Gemara says in the Testament off that a husband is believed. Only those two cases, a wife of a Kohen, and an Eishes Yisrael that the father married off his daughter less than 3 years in one day. Because you've removed one of the two doubts, it's no longer a double doubt, and the husband is believed. But only in those two cases is the husband believed. And Rashi sets up the Mishnah to be discussing all women. And that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. So Tosa says, what's the pshat in the Mishnah? The husband's only believed to make a claim in basin by those two cases. So that's what we concluded with last week, that Tosa says it's a low plug, that when the Chamin make tachanas, they invoke it in a blanket rule, a public policy type rule, and they made a low plug, and Rabbi Kivager points out, it's a little bit strange, because these are two isolated cases, but based on those two isolated cases, we make a low plug to all women, that all women that have never been married before get married on Wednesday. So we make a low plug off a small percentage of cases. That's how Tosis understood the Mishnah. That's how Tosis understood the Mishnah, based on a low plug. And Rashi says no, that it applies to all women, but the whole point of the Mishnah is that even if the husband is not believed, and let's get this point, even if the husband is not believed in Basin, he will cause an uproar. And the Edom might hear about it, and they'll say, yes, we know that she lived with another man, and they'll come in and testify. So what's this dispute based on? What is the Nakuda, what is the point that revolves with Rashi and Tosis that they're arguing about in Lomdus? To explain the Takana of the Mishnah. What is the Mishnah all about according to Rashi? What's the Mishnah all about according to Tosis? So maybe we could suggest the following. And that is that there is a concept about Sveik-Sveika called a Sveik-Sveika Esherer. We have many types of ways of resolving Sveikas in the Torah. If you have a doubt, the Halacha says, the Torah says you could follow a Rov. You could follow a Chazaka, presumption. You could also follow a Sveik-Sveika. And we mentioned last week three different approaches to understand why a Sveik-Sveika is Mutter. The Rashba writes, it's based on Rov possibilities that it's Mutter. Right? 50%, if she lived with another man before Erusin, she's still permissible. If she lived with another man after Erusin, 50% chance she's usher. But within that 50% chance that she's usher, maybe God forbid she was raped. So that's 25% mutter plus the other 50% that she lived with another man before Erusin, 75%, versus the 25% that maybe she lived with another man willingly after Erusin, 75 against 25, majority wins. That's the Rashba and the Chuvas and Siman Tuf Aleph, that a snake is mutter. And then into the Rambam, that a Safik D'Oraisa, the Rambam's unique shita, normally we paskin, the Rashba says Safik D'Oraisa Midoraisa L'Chumra. The Rambam writes, Safik D'Oraisa Midoraisa L'Kula Midorabanan L'Chumra. On a D'Oraisa level, the Torah said you can be Mekel. Midorabanan, they said you have to be Machmer. And in the case of two doubts, they said don't be Machmer. And the third shita we said was Rabbeinu Tam, that the Rav explained that a Sveik-Sveika means that there's no birth of doubt. That when a suffix emerges, there's a cloud of doubt that is created. But when you have a double doubt, the cloud does not get off the ground. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam said in a case where an apple fell off a tree on Shabbos into a barrel of 999 apples, and you don't know where that apple is, that apple's muksa. That number one, the apple is, number one, Actually, we give the case of the eggs. Let's say the egg was, if it's laid on Yontif, it's Muksha. Let's say the egg, you don't know if it was laid on Yontif. And it falls into a barrel of 999 eggs. So you have two doubts. You don't know if the egg was born on Yontif. Number two, you don't know where the egg is. It's a snake faker. But why don't you wait until Saturday night? Dover sheesh lo matirin, afilu belef lo batel. There is such a rule that if you wait till Saturday night to resolve it, what's the big deal? Afilu belef lo batel. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, even in the context of dover sheesh lo matirin, snake is so powerful that we assume it's mutter because there's no birth of doubt. And that's how the Rav explained the Rabbeinu Tam. So maybe we can suggest the following. And that is, what happens if you have a snake seker that it's possible for you to mevara? It's possible for you to clarify it. Can you rely on the snake seker? You have a snake seker, but it's possible for you to clarify it. So can I say, well, let me rest on my couch. Why do I have to make an effort to clarify? I can base myself on a double down. So the Shach writes in Simen Kuf Yud, in the Kol Sveik Sveika, Oslam and Hey, when you learn for Smicha, the Shach is in the end of Kuf Yud in Yordea, and he collects a bunch of rules regarding double doubts. And
so, the same concept as Dover Sheish Lo Matirin? If you could take out a suffix, you're basically saying that the end result is that you are removing the Isser, or the possible Isser. But that's Dover Sheish Lo Matirin.
Right, okay.
It comes to the same result.
We'll see though. If you say in a Dover Sheish Lo Matirin, we just said that a snake, it's very similar. It's very similar, but in the Dover Sheish Lo Matirin, you only are mavari by waiting till Saturday night. So what happens if you have a snake without Dover Sheish Lo Matirin? But it's possible for me to clarify it. Okay, so if you hold snake is it Epsher Lavari, must you try your best to mavari or do you not have to? So the Shach writes, in your day, that a snake after Lavar is mutter. You do not have to make an effort to clarify it. Do not. And what is considered to be a snake after Lavar, writes the Shach in the Tiskei Tshuva, a situation where it's possible to clarify both doubts. Where you can clarify both doubts. The first doubt being, was this woman, did she live with another man after Erushin? And the second doubt being, did she live with the other man willingly? If you can clarify both doubts, then, only then do we call it a title of snake after Lavara. And if it has attained the title of being a snake after Lavara, then you do not have to what? You do not have to go ahead and try to be Mavara it. You don't have to try to clarify it. So says the Rabbeinu Tam the following. Rabbeinu Tam says, I cannot agree with Rashi. Rashi said, how does the Tosos quote Rashi? How did we say Tosos quoted Rashi? Tosos goes ahead and quotes Rashi that the Edom will come and tell us that she lived with another man, Birutzon. Why does he add that in? Because Tosos understood that in order for it to be a snake after Lavara, you have to be able to clarify both doubts. That's why he elucidates. It's not enough for her to prove that she lived with another man. You have to prove that she lived with another man, Gerotzon. That's why he adds those two words on to Rashi. And what does he hold in general? That a snake, that it's possible to clarify, you don't have to clarify. You don't have to clarify it. You can assume that it's mutter. You can assume that it's mutter. So therefore, Tosfos says, I can't agree with Rashi. How did Rashi explain the Mishnah? That the husband will come in and cause an uproar. The husband will come in and cause an uproar with the eventual hope that Edom will come in. That Edom will come in. So Tosfos says to Rashi, I cannot explain the Mishnah like that. Because a snake that is possible to clarify, you don't have to clarify. You don't have to clarify it. It's mutter anyway. It's mutter anyway. So the truth of the matter is, if it's mutter anyway, then there is no way that you can explain the Mishnah that it was for what? For all women, and therefore the purpose of the Mishnah was for the man to come in and cause this uproar. Because a snake that's possible to clarify is mutter anyway. And that's why Tosfos goes out of his way to explain that Rashi would say not only she lived with another man, she lived with another man birotzon. That's exactly why Tosfos stands on his head and says the whole Mishnah is really a low plug. It's only for two women, for a wife of a Kohen, and for the father marrying off the daughter less than three, and we make a low plug, we extend a blanket rule that all the Sulus should get married on Wednesday. All the Sulus should get married on Wednesday. But Tosfos cannot agree with Rashi. Tosfos cannot agree with Rashi. Because a Sveitzek Efsel Avarer is considered to be permissible. And Rashi comes and says, no, Rashi will hold like the Rashba. That a Sveitzek Efsel Avarer, you must clarify it. You absolutely must clarify it. And since you must clarify it, you cannot rely on the Sveitzek. So therefore, Rashi in the Mishnah makes a lot of sense. He makes a lot of sense. Because the pshat is, in the Mishnah is, that the husband should cause an uproar, and if it's a snake snake and it's Epshel of Arer, you have to go ahead and what? You have to go ahead and clarify it. So this is what, and what is this Machlokas all about? The Machlokas is all about the following. If you hold like the Rav, that a snake snake, that it's possible to clarify, you don't have to clarify. Why is that? Because the Rav said the mechanics of the snake snake is that the birth of doubt doesn't get off the ground. So if it doesn't get off the ground, what do I have to check? It's mutter. It's mutter. There's nothing to check. But if you hold like the Rashba, that a snake works based on Rov, then as you said, even in a Rov, Dover Shish Lamatir Afilu Be'elaflo Bapu. The whole point of a snake is based on Rov. Rov doesn't help you if what? If you can clarify. And that's in fact the Rashba Shita. So what we could suggest that this is Rabbeinu Tam Lishitaso. Rabbeinu Tam is consistent. Rashi's grandson and says that, you know what, I hold Sveik Tavara, and therefore I cannot agree with you, Rashi, that the Mishnah's talking about what? A man comes in and causes an uproar, it's a Sveik Sveik and it's Epshel Avara, and it's Mutter, with the hope that Enim will come in. The truth of the matter is, that wouldn't be the Tekun of the Mishnah, because a Sveik Sveik is Epshel Avara, it's Mutter. It's Mutter. Basically would tell the guy, go home. The Sveik Sveik Epshel Avara. So that's why Tosfos stands on his head to explain the Mishnah that it's based on a low plume. So this is the way we can explain this Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. In other words, a snake snake that is possible for you to clarify, do you have to clarify it or not? That goes to the heart and core of how powerful is a double doubt. Is a double doubt mamish mutter, where there's no birth of doubt at all, for sure mutter? Then even if I can clarify, why clarify it? You're being paranoid by going to clarify it. It's mutter. Relax, it's mutter. But if you hold it works based on a majority of percentages, then you know what? If you can clarify it, you better try. Like we find by Dover Shish Lamatir Nefilu Be'elaflo Bapu. So Rashi will hold like the Rashba, that a Sveik Sveik Efsel Avarer, you must clarify, and Tosfos will hold a Sveik Sveik Efsel Avarer, like all the other poskim, Rabbeinu Tam Lishitaso, you do not have to clarify. And that's the way we poskim. And that's why Tosfos adds on to Rashi, when he quotes Rashi, that she was Mezana Tachta Birwatso. Birwatso. Yeah, go ahead, Akiva.
I don't understand why you're bringing in the state after the virus being in the black hole side. Why can't you just simply say it? They have time holds his own ladies for something, so therefore he can't hold the black hole is a ladies for something, can't be in the virus. There's no ladies for something in the virus. I don't understand why you brought in the rust on it and the extra of the virus.
Because I want to know, why does Tosfos, when Tosfos quotes Rashi, why did he say she's into the rust on? Why did he say Shishin Sibarotso? Rashi didn't say that in our Mishnah. Rashi said just that she was Mizana Tachtav. What was the need for Tosfos to add those? I mean, if you read the Tosfos quickly, you don't notice it. He adds one word, actually, Birotso. Why did Tosfos need to add that extra word? Because Tosfos understood that to attain the category, the title, of Sveik Sveik Efsel Avarer, you have to be Mavar both Sveikas. Then it's not called the Sveik Sveik Efsel Avarer. Yes, so in other words, it doesn't even fall under that category of Sveik Sveika. All the poskim in the Shulchan Aruch and Yordei assume that it's a Sveik Sveika is called Epshel Avarer if you can Navarer both Sveikas.
Right, and if you can let you Navarer only one side of the Sveik, then
if you can only Navarer one side of the Sveik, then we wouldn't call it a Sveik Sveika. Then Navarer that one Sveik, then it left with one Sveik. Right, correct, absolutely. You mavara the first doubt, and then it doesn't fall under the realm of a Sveik Sveika. It's a, one suffix, then you say Sveik of the Yoresh Lechumra. Be Mavara that one suffix, and then the other suffix is Sveik of the Yoresh Lechumra. That's what I'm saying. Because there are two doubts here. When she was Mizana, and did she Mizana Baruch on her bones? So the way we're explaining it is that it's a machlokas on what's the din of Sveik Epsilavara. So I'm saying to get to that category of Sveik Epsilavara, Tosus has to say that we would come in, the Edim will come and say that she was Mizana Tata plus was Baratzon. That's what I'm saying, that Tosus adds that extra word. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Just tell me if this is nonsense or not. I know there is a
nothing's nonsense. Law of Aish and Lomi. Right? Go ahead.
There is a Mahloket
yes. Right.
Is it Midoraita or Midoraita?
Yeah, that's what we mentioned. The Rambam against the Rashba. Right. Well, the problem is the Gemara says that a Sveik is Mutter. So you have to get to that point. So if I hold, like the Rambam, like you mentioned, that Sufik Diraisa, Midya Raisa, Lakula, but in two Sveikis, they were Rabbanan, were not Machmer. Sufik Diraisa, Midya Raisa, Lakula, Midya Rabbanan, Lakumer. But in Sveik, they weren't Machmer. That's the Rambam. According to the Rashba, Sufik Diraisa, Midya Raisa, Lakumer. So why is a Sveik Mutter? Based on another principle, Mitam Rov. So no matter which sheet that you say in Rishonim, you have to arrive at the din of the Gemara that Sveik is Mutter. That's for sure. That's the Gemara says in Daf Tesem and Aleph. So that's how you arrive at that conclusion according to either the Rambam or the Rashba. You can't, the Rambam and Rashba can't argue against the Gemara. They have to explain the Gemara. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Because once it falls in that frame of a sveika, which is a special frame, it's a special category, even if you can clarify it, you don't have to. Because it's such a powerful rule that's saying it's mutter. It's like a person that's, you know, he wants to always observe the halacha, but, you know, he's asking the rabbi, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something wrong? And the rabbi says, you know, enough, it's mutter. It's like a snake is screaming at a guy saying that it's mutter. But that's not a case of a snake. Yeah, but it's not. But I'm saying in the frame of Sveik is completely different. Where you just want to find out was that case Baruch or Onus, so there are regulations in the ear, like you're saying, in the city, in the field. But once you put in the realm of Sveik, then it's possible to say I don't have to clarify it, even though I have the possibility. Okay? Yeah, go ahead.
The concept of Sveik and Esther Lavara. I mean, yes. At what point? It almost seems like a contradiction in terms.
Right.
I mean, you've got a suffix.
Right.
At what point do you not know something? I mean, if you ask the question, I mean, it even, I don't know if this goes a little bit to whether it was a later of the suffix, but you think, no, there is no suffix. He can figure it out by definition. If he can figure something out, by definition, there's no such thing as a suffix. I mean, according to him, that's why I guess I don't really understand.
Well,
I mean,
no,
you're figuring something out. It's not like you really don't know.
No, so the question is, do I have to make that? I'll give you another muscle. Let's say you're shech something. You shech something. There's a rove that most of the cows are kosher. So do I have to the Rabban discusses in the Minichulim, do I have to make a real, real strong effort to see if this is completely kosher? Check it after, check everything in the lung, or can I assume based on a rove? So that's a rove that's efshe levarer. Something that is efshe levarer, where you have a principle in the Torah that says it's mutter, do you have to make that extra effort? So I'm saying in this scenario, the Torah gives us a rule of sveik. And even though you're right, with a lot of research and effort, You could clarify it, but do I have to make that research enough? It might take me 6 months. It might take me a year.
So what does something mean on first blush? I just don't know. First blush,
no,
what do you
mean? No, I wouldn't say first.
Where do I go from, I don't know, so like, I got to do
well, something. Let's think about this case. This case where you have the husband marries a woman. He claims she lived with another man. So as Dayanim, let's think to ourselves. What are we going to do? This woman, very possibly, if she did live with another man, when was that? Was it before they got at Arison? Then he's still looking to her. Was it after Arison? And even if it was after Arison, maybe she was raped, God forbid. So you put it together, and you look at Shulchan Aruch, so the Dayanim have to say themselves, it's Seik Seika. Is it Epsil Lavara? Yes, because we can wait and wait and wait for Adim to come. We can wait until a year, half a year. You're right. It's a Seik Seika Epsil Lavara. Should we do that? So according to Rabbi Natan, he says, no, you don't have to do that. It's Mutter. She is Mutter to his husband. She is mutter to her husband. He is not believed. He is not believed. So what's the story in our Mishnah? So Rabbi Natan stands on his head to say that the Mishnah is for two cases. A wife of a Kohen, where there's only one doubt, and this very, very peculiar case, where a father accepting for his daughter less than 3 years in one day, and they have Nisuin later on with the Chassan when she's 12, which removes the other doubt of when it was. So that's why Rabbi Natan. Now Rashi seems to be saying what you're saying. Rashi's uncomfortable with that. If it's Epsil Lavara, if you can clarify, then clarify it. Then you should clarify it. But I'm saying the way we're explaining it fits beautifully as to why Tosfos. I learned this many, many times, Baruch Hashem. Not enough. You have to keep doing chazan. Till this year, when we're learning it in yeshiva, I never noticed that Tosfos added the word Beratzel. When he quoted Rashi. Never noticed it. This year, I haven't noticed it. I was preparing the Shiva. In Yeshiva, he says, Zinsa Baratzel. Why? Rashi himself doesn't say it. So we're explaining Tosfos according to the way Tosfos quotes Rashi and how Tosfos himself argues on Rashi. Now we have to explain Rashi himself. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yes.
If you have a case that says the guy brings his wife,
right.
What's the status? Is she, and there's no agent, will both Tosfos and Rashi agree that she's mutter, or Tosfos will agree that she's mutter because they don't have to mabar it, and Rashi, who thinks it's his argument, will say that she's usher. Because you have to
Bavar
and
you can Bavar. Right, excellent. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's an excellent question. According to Rabbeinu Tam, she's definitely permissible. According to Rabbeinu Tam, she's definitely permissible. Sake, Epsilon, Bavar's Mutter. According to Rashi, while you're waiting, what's the story? So that's a Machlokus Ran Ritva. Machlokus Ran Ritva within Rashi. While Bazin is waiting to clarify the situation, will we let the husband resume living with his wife? Or will we say, no, since what you're saying, you claim is true, you cannot live with one another? That's an excellent point, which we're going to get to. This case, you see, sota, there are two types of sota. We always refer to a sota, but the truth is, a sota we usually refer to as a suffix sota. What's the case of a suffix sota? The Gemara, Masechta Sota, deals with a woman, the Torah says sota, right, the Mishnayos and Gemara have it with a samach. In the Chumash, the Parsh Nosos is with a sin. And what it means is that sota means veer off the path. A woman is veered off the path. So when we talk about sota, there is kinui and there is stiru. A husband warns his wife in front of two witnesses not to have yichud with a specific man, Mr. X. That's what kinui is. Stira is, there are two witnesses that see the Yichud with Mr. X. That woman is a suffix sota. We don't know if she lived with that man, though. What do? We take her up to Yushalayim. The husband takes her up with two Talmidei Chachamim, and she drinks the Mei Sota. If she's guilty, the Chumash says she perishes. And if she's not guilty, she's given a bracha, a blessing, to have more children. But from the time that we declare a woman a suffix sota, the husband cannot live with her. There's a negative, a lav in the Torah. He cannot live with her. Now, if there was one aid that saw the woman live with this man, then he must divorce her, and she loses her ksuba. That's called a sota badai. And in that case, she doesn't go up to Yushalai. So usually when we talk about sota, it's usually a suffix sota. And the Gemara asks in sota, on days and days, in the whole Torah, we always accept two witnesses. All of a sudden, one witness is enough. So the Gemara says, there's raglai ladaber. There's suspicion, if there was kinui, there was stira, one aid is acceptable after that. You're absolutely right. But there's a machlokas ran ritva, an excellent question, according to Rashi, what you're going to do in the limbo status. Okay? All right. Yeah, go ahead, Akiva.
I still don't understand the point. Are you saying that Tosaf is going out of the just to point out that Rashi is even saying in the case of the revival of sudden, that he's going to disagree because there's no limit for suffering by Tosaf?
Yeah, I mean, Tosfos is understanding, right, that you cannot, in order for it to be put under the category of the Seksek Epshalavarer, you have to have the ability to Mavarer both Sekas. So that's how he understood
as
Rashi.
As opposed to not having Mavarer what?
Well, that's what we're going to get to with Rashi. Okay, we're going to get to Rashi now.
But look. But
Rashi only mentions one thing to your Mizana Tachtov, that we've proven that the woman's living with another man, and then she'll be us.
Right.
So let's.
So Tosfos is saying that even in the case where Rashi's talking about.
Rashi means to be talking about where they're going to say she did it for Ratzon.
Even the case where you can Mavara both sides.
No, in the case where they are going to come and say she did it for Ratzon. That's the way you understood Rashi.
So we're gonna
let's get to the Rashi and explain the Rashi, then maybe it'll become clearer to you, okay? Rashi said that we're talking about a situation where the following. What Rashi says that he only mentions the Isser Essay, the Nistara, the Hinitman, he doesn't mention the Lava of Yuchobal Lakacha. Okay? He only mentions the Isser Essay, he doesn't mention the Lava of Yuchobal Lakacha. And we also said that he only mentions one of the Sekis, that she was Mizana Tachta. So maybe the Pshat is the following in Rashi, the way we have it in the Mishnah. As you mentioned, Lagabi Kinui and Stira. Usually, if you have a Suffolk in the Torah, Suffolk Yeraisa L'chumra, and in the case of Sekis, we've learned it's Mutter. If you have a Lav of L'yuchobal L'kacha, which means that if a husband's wife has lived with another man, he's prohibited to live with her. That's a lav in the Torah. When do we say that lav is a situation where it's invoked? When you know for sure. When you know for sure the woman has lived with another man, the husband cannot live with her. Why does Rashi quote only the essay of the Nistar of Ahinit Ma? The Nistar of Ahinit Ma is that there is an Isser essay. What's the Isser essay? The Isser essay is that even in a situation where we don't know if the woman lived with another man, what do? We say that she's prohibited to live with her husband. That's the definition of a Suffolk Sota. Suffolk Sota means she's usher, even though you don't know for sure. So that's why Rashi only quotes the Isser essay of Anistra. Because even if the Adam come in and say that she lived with another man, that's enough. That's enough to prohibit this woman with her husband. We don't know if she lived with the other man, Baratzon, or she was raped, God forbid, it doesn't make a difference. The Nistar of Edenma, like in the context of Sota, he's prohibited to live with his wife. So too here, in this situation, we assume that if the Edim would come in, she lived with another man, then that would be a situation where she would be what? Where she would be considered to be what? Prohibited to the husband. Because it's not as if this din of the Nistar of Hinit Ma lends itself to prohibit the woman with her husband, even if it's only a doubt. Even if it's only a doubt. And therefore we consider a doubt to be like a vada in this situation. And that's why Rashi, in fact, doesn't need to mention that she was Mizana Beratzon. It's enough to say she lived with another man. Because when it comes to a situation of a suffix sota or like that, like in our case, then it's enough to say that she lived with another man, and a suffix is considered to be like a vadai. That's why Rashi only mentions the essay, not the lav, because the lav is only invoked when you know for sure. The essay is invoked even in a doubt, full case. And that's why Rashi doesn't mention Baratzon, because one doubt alone is enough to create a prohibition with her husband. And that's why Rashi does not completely say Beratzon. This explains why Rashi says what he says. I'm sorry? Adam says she was Mizanah with another man.
Doesn't Mizanah have the connotation of Beratzon?
Not necessarily. You see that from the Gemara and Daftas. How do you, it's either Onus or Ratzon. Not necessarily. Could be that she was raped. So I'm saying that's why Rashi himself only quotes the essay and does not say Beratzon. And the truth is, if you look in the Tosfos Rid, the Tosfos Rid, Rashi, we're hoping that there's going to be an uproar, right, and Adam will come in. Well, that's what we said. It was the machlokas between Ron and the Ritva. That's not clear. Machlokas Ron and the Ritva. If you take a look at the Tosfos Rid, right, absolutely, the Tosfos Rid, right here. It's about the ninth line down. You take a look at the Tosfos Rid, he says, Vimlo Yimsala Besulim, he does not find Besulim when he marries her. Yelich Baboker LeBezdin, he'll go in the morning to Bezdin. Terim Shiskarer Daito, before he cools down. She fights him up, before he cools down, and she tries to cool him down. What happens? Viyachkaru Bezdin Matai Zinsa. Shema Tachta Zinsa Viyasuralo. So what does that mean? Bezdin will go ahead and investigate when exactly was it Shema Matai Zinsa. When it was. So he already is saying Adam will come in. He says Shema Yiskar Viyachkaru Bezdin will investigate. Meaning they'll try to find Adam. When she was Mizana Tachta. Does he say anything about the Ratzon? No. What is Bezdin going to investigate? When she lived with the other man? Before the Erison or after the Erison? He doesn't say anything about Beratzon. Interesting. So well, the way we're reading the Rashi and the Mishnah seems to be the Tosfos Rid picking up on that. He doesn't necessarily care about what she Mizana Beratzon or not. So that's maybe what we can suggest is the dispute between Rashi and the Tosfos. Number one, we said it's a machlokus in the mechanics of Sveik Epshel Avarer. Rabbeinu Tam says mutter, because when she talks, Rabbeinu Tam says Seisek is mutter. There's no latest asafik, and Rashi argues and says Seisek is mutter. You must clarify, and therefore Tosfos, because the Shita stands on his head to explain the Mishnah lo plug, and that's why we explain why Tosfos, when he quotes Rashi, adds Beratzon, because it must attain the title, the category of being a Seisek is mutter. Whereas we're saying Rashi himself with the Tosfos Rid, he quotes only the Isser essay, not the Lav, because investigating one suffix is treated kivadai, and also he does not say Beratzon, because long as we prove that you live with another man. Okay. Just one other mahala.
Is Rashi even getting to the level of a sixth suffix here, or he doesn't seem to be? One suffix is enough for him to go.
Right. This explanation we're saying in Rashi himself has nothing to do with sixth. Absolutely. Absolutely. What we're saying, a different Mahalik and Rashi himself on the Mishnah. No, so Tosfos quoted Rashi differently. So we explain the way Tosfos quoted Rashi, Rashi Shita, against Tosfos himself. And then Rashi himself, we're explaining that what one suffix is alone enough. So what would Tosfos say to that? Very good question. So I think what you could say maybe is that Tosfos would say to Rashi, don't quote me Benister of Hinit Ma. As you mentioned, that's only in the context of what? Kinui and Stira. Maybe one doubt is treated like Vadai after there's proof. I'm not proof, you know, not exact proof, but you've warned her, she had Yichu with the man, so we treat a doubt like Vadai. But in our Mishnah, there was no Kinui. So who gives Rashi the ability to make that quantum leap and use Sota as a model to a regular case of a married woman where there was no Kinui and Stira? Maybe that's what Tosfos would say against the way we're explaining the Rashi and the Mishnah. Maybe. It's an excellent question.
Wasn't that the least about 1/8
though? No, that's if you know for sure she's a Vadai Sota and he's got to divorce her, she loses her ksuba. You don't even go up to Yushalayim.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about a case where there was just Kinui and Stira, and we don't know if she lived with the man.
Okay.
The Gemara does not focus on the Mishnah. The Gemara asks on Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar right. says, okay?
Then
the Gemara on Testament Beis wants to bring a Raya. That's what Tosos, the ensuing part of Tosos. So let's see the ensuing part of Tosos. The fight are now in the continuation of Tosos.
We're saying that there was no faith in the Mishnah? I mean, that the faith in the Mishnah, there would be no faith?
According to the way we're explaining it, right, correct. There would be no seik in the Mishnah. The Gemara never said there was a seik on the Mishnah. The Gemara was commenting on Rebbe Lazar, the Amora there, on that
text.
Right, correct. And as long as you prove that you live with another man, that's enough. Okay. Let's continue on now in the Tosos. Okay? Let's continue now on in the Tosos. Because I wanted to speak about a Gizman also. Okay. If we skip a little bit, because the time is running, if we skip a little bit, perhaps, you know, let's just continue in the if you see towards the first long line of the Tosfos, it says Vitema. You see where it says Vitema, the first long line of the Tosfos, Vitema. Tema means a bomb kasha, a very strong kasha. Acha mishum chash ziznus tiknu shetei nisus berevi. We are concerned the woman lives with another man, so we have a takana. Woman gets married on Wednesday. We perik sheni the gittin ika madamer the tiknus man the gittin mishum peiri ava mishum shema avasi choso lo chashini mishum znus to lo shchiach. Oh, what's Tosa's question? What is our Mishnah predicated on? A concern that maybe she lived with another man. That's the whole basis of our Mishnah. There is a machlokas in Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and Gittin, Adaf Yud Zayin, that says there's a need to have a date in a get. God forbid, if a husband divorces his wife, there's a need to have a date in the get. Why? So Rabbi Yochanan says the following reason. That in the event a man marries his niece, which the Gemara says is permissible and it's in fact a mitzvah, you're not mechuyev to, but if a man falls in love and marries his niece, he gets an added mitzvah. What would happen, says Rabbi Yochanan, if the niece lives with another man while they're married with Edim Nasra, with witnesses and warning she should be executed? Uncle is very upset at his niece for living with another man, but he doesn't want her executed. So he'll divorce her and not write a date on the get and say when she lived with the other man, he had already divorced her. So says Rabbi Yochanan, there's a need to have a date in the get. That's Rabbi Yochanan's rationale. Fascinating. Reish Lakish argues and says, there's a concern of the husband eating the fruit, because we know when a woman marries a man, she brings in property into marriage, the husband has a right to eat the fruit. And if he divorces her, he won't put a date, so he'll keep eating the fruit for a few months. And he'll say that he wasn't divorced yet. He hadn't divorced her. So that's a need to have a date in the get. Why does Reish Lakish not like Rabbi Yochanan? Because he says, Zenus is not common. So that's why Reish Lakish says it's an issue of fruit, of stealing the fruit. I don't like Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, says Reish Lakish, because it's uncommon to have Zenus. Ask Tosfos, the whole Mishnah is predicated on a concern of Zenus. That a Basula should get married on Wednesday, because the husband's going to claim that she what? She lived with another man. It's a contradiction. And you can't say, oh, when we have a Machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish Shas, who do we usually hold like? Rabbi Yochanan. So what's the big deal? You ask a kasha from Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish can't argue against the Mishnah, though. Reish Lakish was an Amora. So you can't, Reish Lakish can't go against the Mishnah. You can't say, oh, don't bother me with a kasha from Reish Lakish. We don't possibly have Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish can't go against the Mishnah. No, but he says there's a different reason why you need a date of a get. Not because of what? Snus is not common. But the whole Mishnah is predicated on the concern of Znus. So how does Reish Lakish read our Mishnah? But the Chachamim are projecting a takana that the husband will not find the Sulim because he claims that she committed Znus. Ribbono Shalom, that never happens. Baruch Hashem, right? The hallmark of Yiddishkeit should be what? We're not involved with Gilui Arayos. So how do you predicate both the kind of our mission because of that concern? It's all theoretical that the husband's going to get up the next morning and make this claim. We're not cautious for that, according to Rish Lakish. So let's see Tosis two Terutzim. Okay? Tosis says, B'yesh Lomar, the Hassam Kamer's Nus, the Asili De Misa, Tanu Basra, Ba'edim Loshkir. Rish Lakish said, what type of Znus is uncommon? A Znus where you're going to have witnesses in warning, and you're going to end up executing her. That's uncommon. But here, it is very common that she might have lived with another man, and therefore we have the whole takan of our Mishnah. That's one answer. Inami or else, Hacha Shalotesh Vimo Be'isr Kol Yomo, Chashu Afilu Iznus Avagav Loshkiyah. Oh. Second answer is, no. Argues in the first answer. Iznus is never common. But, here the stakes are so high. She's going to remain living with her husband her whole life Be'isr. Because the stakes are so high, because she lived with another man, and she's going to end up living with her husband her whole life, the Mishnah said we have to make a takana. Even though it's really uncommon. Even though it's really uncommon. That's Tosfos second teretz. Now, maybe we can suggest, if you say like the second teretz, maybe we can suggest a third now possibility, a third explanation in the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos in our Mishnah. Maybe Rashi will agree with Rabbeinu Tam that a Sveik Sveika Efshel Lavarer is Mutter. Going back to our very first explanation, Sveik Sveika that's Efshel Lavarer, even if you could clarify it as Mutter, you don't have to. But Rashi says, here our Mishnah is different because the stakes are high. Maybe this last Teretz of Tosfos, Rashi will hold like and say, you know what? You're right, a normal Sveik Sveika Efshel Lavarer, you don't have to clarify. But here, Midrabanan, you better, because the stakes are very, very high. And Rabbeinu Tam argues on that and says, no. Even Sveik Efshel Lavarer is so, it's like bringing out all the cannons, the F-15s, therefore you don't have to worry about anything. Even though potentially this Isser is a what? Is a lifelong type of prohibition. No, it's definitely not Mutter, but I'm saying on a Durabanan level, on a Durabanan level, Sveik Efshel Lavarer with your rights is Mutter. Maybe one could project on a rabbinic level, since this suffix is a lifelong Isser, since this Isser, rather, is a lifelong Isser, maybe you'll say, you know what? Do your best to clarify it. Rashi says yes. Rabbeinu Tam says, even in this case, you don't have to. Is it so powerful you're not even worried about this? Maybe you could suggest this. Maybe. So that comes out to be a third explanation. What's the Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam? First was, Sveik Efshel Lavarer Mutter, or it's not Mutter. Second one was, the fact of the matter is, we explained Rashi on his own, that it was an Isser Essay, and one something alone is Ossering, and the third explanation is really Sveik Efshel Lavarer's Mutter. The question is, are we conservative for this Dirabanan Din? Now, there is a third answer to this Kash of Tosfos, in the name of the Tosfos HaRosh. Tosfos HaRosh says a very interesting answer. He says that Znus of an Arusa is very in this situation, he says the Znus of an Arusa is considered to be more common, more uncommon rather, than the Znus of what? In this situation. He says, what is this Kasha? The Tosfos HaRosh, Tosfos Kasha was, you see that there, according to Reish Lakish, Znus is not Shchiach there, and Znus is Shchiach here. The answer is the following. In the situation where they've been married, we're not concerned about Znus. In Gittin, they've been married many, many years. We're not concerned about Znus. Reish Lakish says, we're not cautious for Znus. Here, they haven't been married. She's only an Arusa. So we are concerned about a potential possibility that there was Znus. Therefore, the predication, we predicate the whole Takana of the Mishnah that Absula should get married on Wednesday. That's a Tosfos HaRosh answer. Interesting answer. That an Arusa, we're cautious more for Znus than a woman that's been married many years. Because maybe there's been a relationship. They've been married many years. Why would there be Znus? But the woman hasn't lived with the man. Yeah, go ahead, John. That's only if she's a Nara, though. Nara Marasa, we don't have to get Skila. But maybe, it could be. But that would only... Well, usually the shot in the pasuk is because she embarrassed her father's family. I'm saying, according to your svar, should apply all the... You should always get Skila. But I hear you, it's possible. Maybe at least for a Nara, maybe. Because she embarrassed all also. Yeah, go ahead.
So by Kedushin, there's a higher level of das needed, a higher level to fulfill the relationship. The undoing, the presumption should be at
yes.
Some point in favor of the relationship.
Right.
Okay, so therefore, that perhaps could argue that then depends when it's a consumer and a pollution. At what
right.
point is the claim being made by the husband, but then there would be a higher level of, I'm just trying to argue against the concept.
Against
even,
the...
Right, even though on one level you want to protect the concept of marriage, and therefore
right.
even by 1A, you might go conservative and you might say she's usher, but wouldn't you need a higher level of presumption and a vadai to show that she, in fact, is usher for the husband? Because you have a higher level of das to build a relationship, but I think we need an equally high level of das to undo the relationship.
You mean you need bilateral, you mean, to form the marriage. So you mean you need more... Okay, but I think you have to look at it from the prism of concern, of chashos, what we are afraid of. So you're looking at it from an objective perspective. You're absolutely right. It's an excellent point. But I'm saying this is all just concerned, basically subjectively, you know, sociologically. So it's very possible to postulate that before the marriage has been formed, maybe she could explain away, oh, it's not so bad if she lives with another man. Whereas if they've been married for many years... You could say the opposite. I think that's where the Tosafot Rashi is coming from. You're purely from objective terms, you're right, but I think it's more of a sociological type of theory. Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely. Right, so that's an excellent point. If you had to decide between the Ran and the Ritva, according to Rashi, as we're waiting, as you mentioned, for us to based in to clarify, Pashup Shat, probably you would say that she's still permissible to her husband, because we're not going to listen to the claims of the husband. We're not going to. We would probably say she would still be permissible, like the Ritva against the Ran. So, you're right, you have these claims, but I'm saying this particular point seems to be more from a social perspective. You're right, you have both of these claims, but the truth of the matter is you have to attack it from an objective perspective with the mechanics of Sveik Sveika. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, you're absolutely right, the woman remains permissible to the husband, and we throw the husband out of Beis Din. We absolutely throw him out of Beis Din. So from one perspective, Rabbeinu Tam seems to be more attractive. If you take that particular outlook towards this case. Absolutely. According to Rabbeinu Tam, he has to stand on his head. And that's why when I use that expression, I mean it, because you are explaining the whole Mishnah that all women get married on Wednesday that have never been married before based on only two cases. Usually when you have a blanket rule, it's like 60% of the cases out there are like this. Well, extend the blanket to the other 40. Here you have 98% cases. 2% of the cases it fits to get married on Wednesday, and you blanket it to all the other 98. Based on maybe, I don't know, we explain it objectively, but you're absolutely right. What emerges from Rabbeinu Tam is we tell the husband to go home. We would tell him in theory to go home, only because of the low fluke. That's why we insist women get married on Wednesday. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Akiva.
How can you say
you're not going to let us go on, are you? Yeah, go ahead. I can't hear you. What?
I think that the case commission is not a Sveik Sveika. There's a chash there, and the chash is a Sveik Sveika. And
yeah.
Seems to be
the Gemara never says that it's a Sveik Sveika. The Gemara never calls it. The Gemara deals with it on Motor or Beloved. That was the middle.
They compare to the commission, and you have the same thing, but
The Gemara tries to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Right. Okay, that middle part of Tosos I didn't want to get into now because I wanted to go on to Gizman because it gets a little bit technical. But maybe we can talk about it afterwards, okay? No, because you don't have to necessarily... Tosos discusses that. It gets into the technical part of the Gemara and Testament. Maybe we'll discuss it next week a little if we have time. But I wanted to talk about Igizman, okay? Because to answer your question, we're going to have to get in that middle part of things, but I wanted to skip that, okay? All right, let's go on to the Gemara about Igizman. Igizman v'lo nasu. Let's see the beginning of the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? It says, Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yehud, Amar Shmuel, Nitnema Amar B'sula Nisus L'Yom Ravi. Why do we say a B'sula gets married on Wednesday? Now, what's difficult with that? What's difficult with the first question of Gemara? The Mishnah already told us. Very bizarre. The Gemara asks, why does the B'sula get married on Wednesday? We already know. So Tosfos on the bottom in name Amru says that the Gemara was asking, what is the Nafkamina? What is the halachic ramification for a woman getting married on Wednesday? That's how Tosfos rereads the Gemara. Otherwise, the question of the Gemara is very, very difficult. What is the halachic ramification for a woman getting married on Wednesday? Oh, so what does the Gemara answer? Vishishaninu, higiyazman velo nisu, ocheles mishalo, vocheles betruma. If you plan a date to get married, and they end up not getting married on that day, so yochel higiyazman becha b'shabbos. If they plan the date to get married was on a Wednesday, Yehei Ma'ala Lamazonos, and they don't end up getting married, so I would think until they get married, he's obligated to sustain her from the planned date of the marriage. Lekach Shaninu B'sula Nises L'Yom Ravi. Therefore we teach that it says B'sula Nises, that a B'sula gets married on when? On Wednesday. Okay? Therefore it teaches that a B'sula gets married on Wednesday. So what does the Gemara say? That if they plan the wedding on Sunday, I would think, if they don't get married on Sunday, he's obligated to give her food until they get married. No, since the Mishnah says that a B'sula gets married on Wednesday, he does not have to what? He does not have to feed her from Sunday till Wednesday. That's the halacha.
Well, what's the havamina that he doesn't have to feed her?
No, because you would have a havamina, because if he made a commitment, and they don't end up getting married at that date, till they get married, he's obligated to sustain her. She prepared herself for 12 months that she would get married on that date. That's the halacha of Igiyazman v'lo nisu. Okay? Kedushin is a kinyan, but then they plan the nisuin 12 months later. So if they don't get married on that date, he's obligated to sustain his wife, even though they haven't gone under chuppah. Here in this case, I have an excuse to say, oh, we're going to wait till Wednesday because the Mishnah prescribes Wednesday. What can I do? But what emerges from this? That in a regular case, and the Gemara describes this Vayter and Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, that, and the Rambam Paskins like this, that if you plan a wedding and they don't get married on that date, they extend it, delay it for a week or two, and he procrastinates, he must feed her food. He must sustain her, even though the Nisuin has not taken place. That's the halakha of Igiyazman v'lo nisu. The time has arrived, and they haven't gotten married. And that was the plan date. He must give her mazonos.
And this is only if the husband didn't?
Right, if the husband procrastinates. The Gemara has two opinions in the ensuing Gemara. If, for example, he is sick, or she is sick, or she becomes a needed at the date of the wedding, where they want to delay the wedding, so the Rambam Paskin, she does not have to feed her mazonos till they get married. But in a case where he procrastinates maliciously, for no other reason, he must pay her mazonos. No. I'm sorry? Okay, but I'm saying they haven't gotten married yet. So during that time, till they get married, he has to give her mazonos. So let's try to understand this halacha. What is this halacha based on? What's it based on? So the simplest possibility is to say that it's a knas. that the Chum imposed a penalty. We have many knosses. If a man steals a basketball, right? He's got to pay kefil. He's a ganav. That's a knas min haTorah. Maybe this is a knas from the Chachamim that they imposed on the fellow. You planned the wedding. In a sense, you tricked her. You duped her. And therefore, what's the din? You have to what? Pay mizonos. It's a knas. The luck of a knas. And therefore, it would make sense if or she's sick or she becomes a needed, then why should we invoke and implement this penalty? Oh, that's one possibility. The other... Yeah, go ahead. That's only min haTorah. Min haRabbanan, we don't let her eat truma till nesuin.
Since in the Rabbanan, I'm worried that maybe she's going to have to eat truma with the brothers, right?
Right, or because of simphon.
Right, so he created this whole takana to wait till nesuin.
Right.
So what the Rabbanan is saying is, fine, so we're making that takana for a year's time. We have to take care of it.
Okay. In other words, how would you... Okay, the truth is we paskin like this is the Mishnah Rishonah. On Daf Nun Zayin there's a Mishnah Rishonah and a Mishnah Achronah. Mishnah Rishonah says she can eat truma if she's marrying a kohen from the planned date of the wedding. We paskin she cannot eat truma until the actual chuppah. But legabi mizonos, apples and oranges that aren't truma, she gets from the planned date. So the other possibility is to say maybe we could formulate that like the following, that it's a nesuin mid rabbanan. Meaning, min rabbanan, they declared them being married, even though officially they have not gone under the chuppah. Even though officially they have not gone under the chuppah, they are considered to be married. It's a nesuin mid rabbanan. So we would say either two possibilities. Either that's a kanash, or either it's considered to be a nesuin mid rabbanan. Now, what's the difference between the two? The Gemara says later on in Zion of the Days that the husband has the responsibility to sustain his wife and give her mizonos. What does he get back reciprocally? Maisi Adayin. The work that she does, her salary, she gives back to him. He gives her mizonos, she gives him Maisi Adayin. In this situation of Igi Yizman, they plan the date of the wedding and he procrastinates, says he needs another week or two before the actual wedding. He has to pay her mizonos, we learned. Does he get her Maisi Adayin back in return or not? What would you say? Machlokus Ritva Ra'ah. The Ritva on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph and Ksubas writes explicitly that he gets her Maisi Adayin back in return. What's the hesber? What's the explanation? What's the vira? Exactly. It's not a knas. It's a what? It's a nesuin mid rabbanan. It's a marriage, rabbinically. And therefore they have a reciprocal relationship. But if you view it as a knas, it's a one-sided knas, he must give her mizonos, and he gets nothing in return. She doesn't have to give her Maisi Adayin to him. That's the ra'ah in the quota by the Shita Mekubetla Kuf Zayin and Mebez in the Sekhus Ksubis,
so
in our Masech.
According to the ra'ah then, if he was malicious about it, he should be able to give her Maisi Adayin.
That we don't find. It's a good question. We don't find that din of the Giyazman, and then she runs away. You're right. We don't find that there's a knas imposed. But logically, you would think that absolutely. But we don't find it anywhere that we find her to give Maisi Adayin. So that's basically a little bit of public policy, also protecting her a little bit. It's a good, excellent point. But we don't find that. We don't find that.
Is there an obligation to the date? I mean,
you say, oh, the Mishnah says during Zion, you give 12 months, set up the time that she should prepare, absolutely.
No, we get married on a Sunday.
Well, we're talking about a sad situation where they did set a date.
It seems like if you're obligated to set a date, like it's either a bunch, okay, you must set a date, and therefore it has some sort of status, and therefore there's...
I don't know per se that you're obligated to set a date, but the Mishnah's talking a scenario where you did set a date. It might be advantageous to, because you give the woman 12 months, so it seems like, based on following the regulations of the Mishnah, there is a date that emerges. Okay? So it's probably a good idea, but assuming that it was done... That's what we're discussing. It's a good idea. I don't know.
I would think if there's an obligation to set it, it might be that's part of the Rabbanan. There's an obligation to, and that's part of where you are. But if you don't set one, you don't have to set the Rabbanan.
Yeah. Well, what the Mishnah says is, "No, from the Sulu Shnei Masar Chodesh, we should tava ba'al afarnas esatzma." You give the pesukah 12 months. So it seems like, I don't know if the shul even has to be hinged on that. That you have to say, once you set the day and you don't do good, you don't fulfill your commitment, is that a knas or is that a nesuah and drabar? Okay? It's a good point. I mean, it's certainly mixed with type too. You want to give her, you know, when she should be ready. So we're saying it's a knas, and therefore you penalize the man that he must give her mazonos, but he doesn't get her mice yadai. Yeah, that she doesn't have to go through, but she's not free until he gives her a get. They have kedushin. No, there was no tie. It's a regular kedushin. Regular kedushin. She can back out of the suin, but she's not a free woman to marry anyone. He has to give her a get. Yeah, go ahead. No, that's the payros. Payros, yeah, they're reciprocal. There are reciprocal things. Right, he gets to eat her payros, and then she's captured, he's got to redeem her. He gets the dowry, and in the event she dies, he has to bury her. Absolutely. That's the Gemara Mem Zayin. Okay. Another difference, another nafkamina. The Rabban writes ala Torah, very fascinating case, in Parshish Mishpatim. The Rabban writes in Parshish Mishpatim, in Perak Hafal of Pasuk Gimel, he quotes the Mechilta. There is a din that an Eved Ivri is able to marry a woman. An Eved Ivri can marry a Shiflet Knanis. And who sustains them? The Eved Ivri's master, the Adon. The Rabban discusses a fascinating case where the Eved Ivri is about to marry someone. They made a commitment on the date of when to get married. And he doesn't end up what? He doesn't end up marrying her. He procrastinates 2 weeks. He ends up marrying her a week later or 2 weeks later. In those week or 2 weeks, must the master pay mizonos or not? Must the master pay mizonos? So the Rabban says explicitly, no, he does not have to pay the mizonos. And the Sefer Shiuri Ksubis explains very beautifully that the Rabban understood that the nature of the Gizvav Lo Nisu was a knas. It wasn't the Adon's fault here. It was Eved Ivri's fault that he didn't marry her on the proper date that they had what? That they had scheduled. And therefore, since you say that the whole nature of the din is a knas, we do not implement the knas on the Adon. It wasn't his fault. But if you would have argued that the nature of the din of the Gizvav Lo Nisu is that it's an Nisuin mid the Rabbanon, then whether it was the Adon or whether it was Eved Ivri, the din of the Nesuim and the Rabbanan is interjected, it is invoked, and therefore the halacha would be that the Adon would in fact have to pay the Nesuim. So that's a second nafkamina as to how you view the din of Knas or how you view the din as being in the Nesuim and the Rabbanan. Second nafkamina. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, without, I know time is short.
Sure.
Something about that second case bothers me.
Go ahead.
All right, where it relates to the Adon isn't the wrongdoer here. He may be vicariously in certain conditions here, but until there's been a consummation of that marriage, he has absolutely no responsibility for that girl.
Right.
I mean, it would have to be formulated. But I see a total difference between that case and the case of where the husband might be deemed to have an assumed rabbanon and have responsibility.
Why? Because maybe he should have motivated the Eved to...
Well, he doesn't have a responsibility for the third person. He's not vicariously liable. He's vicariously liable in every single thing. He may have, once the relationship is consummated, he has to support. But the nature of support...
No, but like
the
you...
Nature of supporting the nature of support is the other okay. Supporting the Eved. Not that he's supporting...
Yeah, but he's supporting the Eved with everything that comes with it. So you could project that if the date was made, then the soon the Rabbanan is invoked.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's so difficult if you assume that, you know, it's all inclusive. He is the Adon, and he has all those responsibilities.
Doesn't he have an also get
the right? Stand totally in the shoes? All right, I'm not. Does he totally stand in the shoes? Does the Adon, are they one and the same?
No, but
he's really obligated, primarily he's obligated to the Eved, and secondarily here. There's another level removed from the case.
And therefore, he shouldn't be obligated.
Doesn't he ever know if they have the right to her labor when she marries the other?
Does the what?
She become everything to the other?
Yes, they all become included. Absolutely. So one could maybe make that argument. Okay? A third daf given, and then we'll go to Dvar Torah and Chumash. And that is that what about a Yabim? What about a Yabim? Let's say a man is married and dies without any children, and he goes to the woman falls to her brother-in-law. They plan the date of when the Yibum is going to be, and he does not marry her on that day. Must he feed her mizonos? So Tosos writes on Amud Beis very explicitly. Tosos writes on Amud Beis, in such a case, what would be? He escapes. That he must what? He must give her mizonos. He must give her mizonos. This is what Tosos postulates. He must give her mizonos. Now, is there a possibility that you could distinguish between the Yabim and a what? And a regular man and woman getting married. So Tosos on Beizim and Beiz, the end of the Tosos says, yes. A Chosan and Kala are Agide Gabe. There's a relationship. They're tied to one another in a sense. More than a Yavama. So it's very possible to say, in such a case, that one can make the following distinction. If the Yabim escaped his responsibility and ran away, then obviously he's obligated to sustain his sister-in-law. If, however, he became sick beforehand, then we're not going to what? Impose the knas on him. We're not going to impose the knas on him. If he escaped after the date, then we're going to impose the knas. If, however, he became sick beforehand, we're not going to impose a penalty. He's sick. Whereas in a situation of a chosan and kala, maybe it's possible to project that even though he got sick before the date, we still would impose a financial obligation upon him to feed his wife because there's an objective rabbinic marriage here, regardless of whether or why he did not end up marrying the woman. So maybe here you can make a split and say, a chosan and kala is a rabbinic marriage, and don't give me any excuse. No matter what, you didn't end up marrying the woman? The din is that what? Halakha l'maisa, you have to what? You have to sustain it. Whereas by a yavim yavama, where there is that net, there is no link. There is no relationship, pre-existing relationship. Maybe one could postulate, if he escaped, I understand. We impose the mizonos on him. But in a situation where what? Where he got sick, why should we impose that on him at all? Before the day that came. Okay. One word on Chumash, and that is the following. It's interesting. There is a question that comes up. All the avos in the Torah, the Gemara explains, in the Sechus Yuma, observe all the biblical laws and rabbinic laws, the Gemara tells us, in the Sechus Yuma on Chof Chesimid days. They had the Nebuah, what the Torah was, what the mitzvahs were. They observed all the mitzvahs in the Torah. There is one difficulty that comes up. How did the avos then observe Shabbos? Because what was the status of the avos before Matan Torah? Were they Jews? Or were they what? Ben Noach. Were they Yisraelim or were they Ben Noach? And the Gemara tells in Sanhedrin that a Ben Noach that observed Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. And if you're a Jew, obviously you have to observe Shabbos. What did they do? So there are many answers to this question. One answer that I wanted to share with you is the following. We have time maybe for two answers. One answer is that when does the secular day begin? In the morning. It says in last week's Parsha, Yom V'layla Lo Yishbosim. And it says in Sefer Parsha's Breishis, Vayerev Yivoka Yom Rishon. The halachic day begins at night. So maybe one could say the following. That the Avos got out of this problem in the following way. They did Malach on Saturday night. On the possibility they were Jews, they observed Shabbos meticulously Friday night all the way through Saturday. On the possibility they were a Ben Noach, what's the definition of a secular day? Saturday day, Saturday night. A Ben Noach is not allowed to observe Shabbos even if it's Tuesday. Tuesday day, Tuesday night. If they did Malach on Saturday night, they got out of the fact that they, on the possibility they were a Ben Noach, that they did not observe a Shabbos without doing any Malacha. That's one answer that we could suggest. Another answer that maybe we could say is the following, and that is like this. Maybe one can suggest that it's possible to say, and this is what the Cheshek Shlomo it says, that the others wore tzitzis. So if they wore tzitzis, on the possibility they were Jews, wearing tzitzis permissible on Shabbos. On the possibility that they're a Ben Noach, then tzitzis is meaningless for a non-Jew. And therefore it's considered they're caring. So they've done one of the Lama Tess Malachas of caring, which is caring, and therefore we don't view it as a Ben Noach has observed all of Shabbos. That's two. There are six answers that we could offer to answer that question. That's two of the ways, assuming that the Avos and the Imos observed all the Torah, not just the Arises, but even Dinim Derabbanan. Okay, everyone have a good Shabbos.